The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson. And you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. And hope everybody had a great week. And the weather's been on a scale of 1 to 10, from 0 to 10. And today is going to be a little warmer, but rainy. So get out if you can. And plan on doing your inside work later this afternoon. We got a great show today, great organization we're going to be talking about, and even though I'm a Kiwanian, the service groups in Saratoga and anywhere where there's Rotary, Lions Club, and Kiwanis, they all do their part in the communities and internationally. So I want to welcome this morning Joseph Brady, who is a member of the Saratoga Springs Lion Club, and good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Rick. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Sorry about the chaos when you came in, but that happens every once in a while.
It happens everywhere.
That's right. I mean, a couple weeks ago, we got attacked by Santa Claus, and so you never know what's going to go on in here. Joe, why don't you give us a little bit of background about yourself, all right? You know, where you came from, what you're doing now, and how long you've been in the Lions Club.
Okay, Rick. I've been living in Saratoga Springs now since 1990. I was born and brought up out in Western New York. Married, have three kids. They're all basically grown and gone. Work as a financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. And probably about 10, 11 years ago, I've always had a need and desire to help and work with charities and organizations. And I started working with the Saratoga Springs Lions Club. And the main driver of that was my youngest child, Colin, who was born at 1 pound, 10 ounces. He was blind in his left eye. Okay. And we had worked quite diligently to help fundraise with March of Dimes for a number of years. And after that, I switched over to the Saratoga Springs Lions Club because the Lions Club International, their focus is eyesight, diabetes, youth, and hunger. And so it was kind of right up my alley to support and some of the challenges that my youngest son had.
Mm-hmm. You know, not to say it's a good thing about your son, but I think you become, when you join an organization like the Lions Club, that one of their main focuses are sight and hearing. I think you're more dedicated because it hits home. And I know there are several organizations where people have joined because of a cause that they believe in because they've had it hits home, and I it's good. And the Lions Club does an awful lot towards that end. I mean, you help a lot of families with eyesight and hearing aids and that. And I know a person that I work with. I talked to you about, you know, where I work, and she didn't have much money. And she had a son who broke his glasses, you know, 10-year-old son, and she couldn't afford to, you know, go to the eye doctors and couldn't afford another pair of glasses. And one of the, and she lived in Boston Spa. So the club in Boston Spa has a program where they pay for the eye doctor appointment through one of the vision centers. And pay for the glasses. And, you know, I mean, that's fantastic. I just had never heard of a service organization doing that. I mean, I can see making a donation to the family for, you know, a small amount. But That's a really neat program. Does Saratoga do that also?
Yeah, Saratoga Springs Lions Club does also do that. So we have a program for people of need that need eyeglasses or need eye exams. We have a program all set up. We have a dedicated person within our club that heads that that area up. We probably assist quite a few dozen people throughout the year. Another program just like that is our hearing aid program. Once again, people of need that need help with hearing, need a hearing aid. We have a program where we'll go in and assist them on the purchasing of a hearing aid.
I think people that really don't know about service clubs in their area or what they do until there's a need, thinks of the Lions Club as a group that has cardboard box recyclable containers for glasses and hearing aids. And I don't even know if they realize what they're doing by collecting those. But that program is so valuable that, you know, it's just great of what each service club does. But the Lions, you know, they have great programs for people of all ages. And I know our Kiwanis Club, we're more children-focused, and the Rotary, they're focused on other things. So I think they all play an important part in the community. But, how did the Lions Club start out?
Lions Club started back in 1917. A bunch of businessmen were having lunch out in Chicago, Illinois, and they decided to one day to start their focus on helping society. And one day, a young lady by the name of Helen Keller came in and talked to that group of business people and challenged them to become Knights of the Blind and work towards the ending and the end of blindness amongst the people. And that's how Lions Club first started. Our club started some odd 90 years ago is when we first got chartered. Mm-hmm. Our club has got about 100 members in it, and we are a quite active club. Yeah. We meet every Thursday down at Mama Mia's for lunch. You know, everybody's got to have lunch sometime, so
that's right.
Come on down and join the Lions Club.
Thursdays at 12. And if you're on the board, you meet at the Holiday Inn on the second Wednesday of the month.
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. I don't want to tell you what, you know, it is, but I did download some information. You got a great website, Saratoga, SaratogaSpringsLions.com. And if anybody wants to find out any information, you can go to that website, contact form. You can see the programs that they use. And that's great for anything that you need down the road or if you want to become part of the Lions Club. And it's a great organization. I was a guest speaker before them one time, and I had a great time, and they have a diversified membership. And most service clubs, I think, are great for members because of the networking that you can do. And I think each member brings a special service to the club themselves that members can take advantage of. And that's another good thing about service clubs, the interaction between the members. And we talked about a few before the show, and Don is like, oi, he's a fun guy. I'll tell you, Don Hall, I was on the board of the credit union with him, and he was on the show one time and with a couple other guys, and we had to hose him down. Because I think he's kind of like Mr. Lions Club. He's out trying to get everybody to join, and very happy, enthusiastic guy, and, you know.
Dedicated.
So he's probably been Lion of the Year at some point.
Probably a few times.
Yeah, really. So the club was started after a program by Helen Keller, and you know, everybody knows the story of Helen Keller. There is an eye institute in the area, isn't there, in the Capital District?
Down in Albany, there's the Lions Eye Institute, and that is focused on providing eye care services and surgeries to local people that are of need and not of need also.
Okay. Is that, not that it's, you know, the same thing, but is that almost like a St. Jude's where you can send people with needs down there and you know, they'll help out the families for their specific problem?
Yep. And that's also, once again, how I really got involved with it. Our young son went to the Lions Eye Institute.
Okay.
You know, we had insurances and so forth, so it wasn't a needs-based thing, but they had the knowledge and the technology to help my son as best as they could with the eye issues that he was having. And so they have their doctors come into the NICUs at St. Peter's and at Albany Med when these babies are 2-3 weeks of age and just over 2 pounds, and start working with them on eye exams and making sure that there's no retinopathy of prematurity or hemorrhaging or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of grew up through with the people at the Lions Eye Institute down off of Route 85 and all
that. Right. That's, is it, yeah, I can't think of it now. I have a doctor, and it's right above St. Peter's, isn't it?
And they moved a couple years ago.
Oh, they did?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
They've got their own building off of, get off 90 and go down Route 85.
Yeah.
And
okay.
A couple roundabouts and boom, you're there.
Right. Yeah. It's a great, you know, it's a great facility to help out a lot of kids. How old is your son today?
He's going to turn 22 soon.
22. Great. Great for him. And just amazing what work they can do. Now, the Lions Club is, and I was surprised about this because, you know, I mean, service clubs lose membership, I think, internationally, not just in the United States, because of the times today. People can't get involved like they used to. They're on the go in that. But you're the largest service organization in the world.
That is correct.
I mean, you have almost 600,000 members, and no, more than that. You have 1.35 million.
I was going to say, you want to drop two in front of that.
Yeah, no, that was Kiwanis that I was surprised only had 600,000, but I think people dedicating to an organization and for time, it's kind of hard today, but it seems the Lions have found that magic piece to keep memberships and grow.
Well, I think the Saratoga Springs Club has found the magic. I also work with Campability Saratoga, and I go out and visit a lot of the other area Lions clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you don't have the focus of really expanding your club, growing your projects, and that, it's tough to keep membership.
Yeah,
we're over 100 members strong. We're really diverse. Our membership age is 24 up to a little over 90.
Mm-hmm.
The two 90-year-old gentlemen were at lunch last Thursday, doing well, still participating, still active within the club. The club is really diverse because, you know, we have we've got attorneys, we've got accountants, we got pharmacists, we got financial advisors, we've got school administrators, we've got we even have the Don Hall.
Yeah.
So we've got a great group of people there, and everybody brings different qualities and different abilities to the table. So when we do projects, whether it be the night at the Bruseum or Camp Abilities or the golf tournament, we have people that specialize in those areas, and they do those tasks extremely well. And
sure.
So that's one of the reasons why when we do programs, we do a great job at it.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the greatest assets a club can have is someone who's super dedicated that can inspire the members to bring a friend in as a member or bring somebody they know. I mean, one thing they say in Kiwanis is don't be afraid to ask somebody. But you have to be knowledgeable on what your club does so that you can interest the person that you're trying to get to be a member. And, you know, that's just a great thing. We've got some areas that I want to talk about, but first I want to talk about the capabilities. Because Phil Klein, who's a member of Kiwanis and is a friend of both of ours, told me that you are the expert.
Uh-oh.
you're the knowledgeable person to talk about that. And so why don't you tell us about that area of Kiwanis?
Okay. Well, Rick, Campability Saratoga, it started as an organization about 9 years ago. And we got this idea from Campability's Brockport. Out at SUNY Brockport, Dr. Lauren Lieberman, she's a professor teaching students to become physical education teachers. And she wanted students to learn how to include people that have challenges. And she chose eyesight as that challenge, and she started this Campabilities Brockport. And today, Campabilities Brockport is about 50 to 60 kids per year, and those children that are either blind, legally blind, or deafblind, they spend a week at SUNY Brockport, and the counselors there, most of the counselors are students that are graduate and undergraduate students that have a focus in physical education. Fast forward to about 8 years ago, four members of the Saratoga Springs Lions Club decided, hey, this might be something to look into and hold here in Saratoga Springs. So the founding four members of Campability Saratoga went out to Brockport, looked at it, came back, did a lot of soul searching, and decided that, yep, let's hold a camp here. So here we are today in 2020. We have now held six camps. Our seventh camp is going to be here in 2020. Each camp is 26 kids, ages 10 to 16 years old. They are blind, deafblind, or visually impaired. They stay overnight here at the Skidmore campus. They've actually stayed in this dorm a few times.
Johnson Tower.
Yeah. Yep, Johnson Tower. And it's great for a number of reasons. Number one, why Campabilities is near and dear to my heart is because when my son was growing up, lots of times he did not participate in phys ed class, okay, because of his eyesight, because of his high probability of losing his good eye. Certain sports and activities he just could not participate in. So I kind of knew where a lot of these kids were coming from, that, okay, phys ed class, you're on the sidelines, or you're in the library or study hall. So the whole focus of Campabilities is to get these kids more active, to get them to learn and participate in sports, to get them to become advocates for themselves. And one of the nice things about coming here to Skidmore is that, you know, they're going to be here 7 days, six nights. And for a lot of them initially, it's the first time they've ever been away from home. Now they're starting to venture out on their own. They're starting to learn on themselves that they, hey, when I graduate from high school, I can succeed. I can go off to college and be okay, because they've proven that to themselves already. Gives a week's respite to mom and dad or the caregivers of that child.
Of course.
And also we focus on a one-to-one camper to counselor ratio. And once again, our counselors are individuals that are graduate, undergraduate students, also other phys ed teachers, and they want more experience on working with kids that have some type of challenge. So they can bring that training and that expertise back to their classrooms when they're teaching throughout the rest of the year or their future employment.
And, you know, like you said, if it wasn't for projects like that and, you know, other areas of service clubs that do things, these kids wouldn't have an opportunity to do that, but, you know, and with their parents, just with their parents, and because they wouldn't know where to send them or go out. And I think, you know, you had made mention of, you know, it gives parents a little respite too, knowing their child is having a great time, is, you know, great counselors and doing great things. One of the things about special needs parents that I don't think people understand is you can be the most dedicated parent. I mean, everybody loves their child. They do as much as they can for them, but you need a break too.
Yep.
It's a 24-hour a day job, and not that you ever don't mind doing it, but you need a little bit of time. And this is a great win-win because your child is having the time of his or her life, and it gives you a little break to do some things that you know, you and your wife or the wife and her husband can do. And I think that's great. Now, do the Lions – go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that really drove the point home to me was our first camp. There was a young man. He was 16, 17 years of age. It was his first camp. It was our first camp. And I saw him get out of his car, and he was using a white cane because he had been blind since birth. And as he's walking across the Skidmore parking lot, arms and legs are going everywhere because he's trying to figure out where he is and where he's going. And so he gets registered and so forth. And now fast forward to Monday morning, and everybody's out at the track. And one of the things that the counselors do is they keep track of the progress of the camper throughout the whole week. And at the end of the week, the camper brings their assessment pages back to their home school to show their phys ed teacher, their counselor, the principal, superintendent of, hey, this is what I've done, and this is how I've progressed through the week at Camp Ability Saratoga. So anyways, this gentleman, fast forward to Monday morning, one of the things you have to do is you have to run around the track at Skidmore. Well. And it's a timed run. And kids that are totally blind, they have a tether or some type of attachment to a sighted person, and they run around the track. Well, it took forever for this boy to get around the track. And the boy knew and understood what the word run meant, but he didn't know how to do it. Yeah. Nobody ever taught him. He didn't know how to move his body. So at that point, they assigned two counselors to that child to teach him how to run. And by Friday of that week, you would look at Raheel and you'd look at him and say, wow, he's walking with almost a natural gait.
Wow.
No longer were arms and legs going everywhere. He was more confident of himself. He was more self-assured. He knew kind of where he was always going, and it really showed. And those are the things that Camp Ability that really gets you.
Sure.
Our once again, our first camp, almost half the children had never ridden a bike before in their life. And these are kids 10 to 16 years of age.
Gee. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, that it takes a program like that to really get these children going. And by keeping track of the progress, and you bring those results back to the schools, that may give the gym teachers or phys ed teachers or aides or whatever a outline of what they can do with the child to
make them
to do it and get them more self-assured, get them into bettering you know, themselves through that.
Yeah, we also had another camper. She went back to her home school, and she was very persistent. So she was advocating for herself, and she says, you know, we really need to have judo as part of our physical education classes. And through the help with Camp Ability Saratoga and herself and Jason Morris Studio, was able to bring in that judo segment into that classroom. Wow. We've had other times where we've had campers progress from being a camper to a counselor in training and now a counselor. And it is so rewarding to see the evolution of those kids throughout the years.
Yep.
We also have another boy who his first year he got the nickname Shake and Bake. He self-appointed him that name, and it's stuck with him forever now. Shake for short. Shake was so impressed and loved the camp so much his first year. Unbeknownst to us, he went out and started collecting cans and bottles.
Really?
And turn them in for 5 cents. So on the Sunday of our Sunday opening day of our second camp, Shake presents us with a check for $600-$700.
Wow.
Of all the bottles that he collected and he turned in. And we are very proud to say that over the years, Shake has, his name is Chris Baker, up in Queensbury. Shake has brought in over $4,000 of bottles that he has collected because, as he said, he wanted to make sure that this organization, this program, continued in the future.
That's amazing.
And to me, that's, once again, it shows the dedication of these students, and they see the benefit out of it.
And the independence it instills in them, and like you said, with you know, with the one camper, it gives you self-assurance to do things. And once you feel comfortable, there's really nothing that you can't do. Right?
Yep, we just, and this was an article in the paper, Saratoga Today, one of their magazines, a month or so ago, a young lady that was a wallflower. Very quiet, very shy, very difficult to get her to participate in the camp. And she had very bad eyesight. She had a little bit of eyesight, but legally blind. One day she shows up to camp and she's got a dog, a training dog with her.
Seeing eye dog,
thank you. And her world changed because at that point, everybody moved to meet and greet the dog, and who was there? There was Paula.
Right.
And now Paula was forced into more interaction with people, and she really blossomed.
More socialization.
And now Paula has moved from, and I'm sorry, not Paula, Megan. Sorry, Megan. oh, boy. Megan, you know, has moved from being very quiet, very shy, to really being out there, and it's because of the use of the dog and the coming to Campability Saratoga.
Well, you know, just as I said.
I'm sorry. So she went from camper to counselor in training, and I'm pretty sure next year she's going to be.
She'll be a counselor.
She's going to be a counselor.
That's neat. Now, we talked about when you join the Lions Club that it's a great networking experience because of the different sectors that members come from, and that's now Megan seems that fits into part of that. By being involved in Camp Abilities, it opened up her social network and made her the benefits that made her more confident, gave her a goal to become a counselor, or you know, and I, you know, it touches your heart when you're dedicated to that. My wife was a special ed teacher for 34 years, and her greatest feeling at the end of the school year was seeing the progress that she had with, and I'm going to say some of the students, because a lot of them, little progress is fantastic. And you know, she was involved a lot in speech and language. But when you have these children with, and I don't want to say a disability,
but a challenge.
A special need,
yep.
And you see the progress that they can make, that I think just invigorates you to do more.
You know, and that's one other thing that I want to tie in. And today is Saturday, and it's the first day of skate. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, some of our campers will actually come into town on Saturdays, January through March. The Saratoga Springs Lions Club has another service project called Skating Stars. And Skating Stars has been part of the community for the last 25 to 30 years. And that's where every Saturday, January through March, we take kids 6 to 36 that have some type of challenge, mental, physical, whatever. And we're out at the Weibel Avenue Skating Rink, and people are learning how to skate or just go skating. And once again, the Saratoga Springs Lions Club has made a great dedication to that. So we have all the skates. We've got the helmets. We've got the, I'll call them walkers for the students that need them. I remember when my son went to Skating Stars 16, 17 years ago. I remember one kid that was there skating. Well, he's still there skating today, and yeah, he's well into his 30s, if not early 40s, but still using his walker, but ripping up and down the ice like you wouldn't believe.
That's fantastic.
And once again, it's another one of these service projects that people don't realize that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody knows that they have a child or a young adult or someone that could participate in Skating Stars, once again, go to our website, SaratogaSpringsLions.com, and check out Skating Stars and see if that is something that your child or your person can participate in. There's no cost to it. Show up. We get you fitted for skates and helmet, and off you go.
You know, I find that in the communities, or in our community anyway, and it's all over the world probably, is that people don't realize what services that service clubs provide. Like you said, there's a lot of programs that you do, and we'll get into some other ones a little bit. But, you know, and you can have it in the paper. You can do an ad in the area papers, and people still don't realize that. And you just wish that they would take advantage of these because they're life changers.
And, you know, lots of times all we're, you know, like on skating. Last year I was talking with one of my clients about Skating Stars and Camp Abilities. And she says, well, you know, Helen says, you know, I love to skate. She goes, I'd love to participate. And I said, well, show up.
Yeah.
And so she shows up every Saturday for an hour and a half, January through March. And she's got her students that she likes to work with there, because why does she like to work with them? They love her.
Yeah.
And it's a one-to-one situation where Helen is with her partner out there skating and having a great time together.
Now, do the same members, are they involved year after year? Or do some of them do it, you know, one time and then not the next time you do that?
Club members?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, generally, you know, once you drink the Kool-Aid,
yep,
you always go back to the same igloo cooler and drink more.
And I was going to say, you know, that's a very important thing, because they know after, you know, a year or so, they know the program and they know how to deal with the children and get them to feel comfortable themselves.
We had we have a member hardly ever comes to meetings, which is fine, but we all know that gentleman has a certain job at Skating Stars every Saturday, and that's his job, and that's what he's going to do, and he does a fabulous job at it, and hey, don't have to worry about it. He's got it done, got it taken care of.
Well, you know, in any organization, there are people that, you know, like I know in the service club I belong to, people don't go to every meeting. But whenever you have a project, they're there.
All hands on deck.
All hands on deck. And that's very important, because sometimes in a small club, you're searching for those hands on decks. And when you know you can count on certain people that you have a starting point, that's really good.
Yeah, when we have our all hands on deck, one of them is for our memorial, and that is a duathlon. It's held during Memorial Day weekend. We have it down at the Racino, and it is a 5K run, 20K bike, and then a 5K run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an all hands on deck. And the amazing thing is we'll have 500, 600, 700 participants show up to participate in that duathlon that day. And by 1 o'clock, you can drive into the Racino on that Saturday and You can't even tell we were even there.
It's amazing.
So we can go in there because of the strength of our club, the abilities of all the people within our club. We can go in there, get it all set up, and it is just an absolute professional-looking job. The remarks that we get from people that do come year after year after year are totally impressed on how well we get it organized, set up, run. And we're just a service organization, and we just do a great job.
And you're really into it. That's the thing. I mean, once you get involved, like you said, once you drink the Kool-Aid, you have to go back. I remember when they first had the first one. As I said, Don Hall was on our board, and we got to be friends. And I signed up.
Don Hall has friends?
I know. It's a hard thing. And, you know, I mean, at the board meetings, we used to beat on him terrible because he's just so much fun to beat up on. But I joined to do that. He got, you know, one of people. I did 1K, passed out, and Don came over to do mouth-to-mouth, and I woke up and said, get out of here, you know. But I'm only kidding. But I remember that first one, and it was a challenge to get it going, and they needed all kinds of volunteers, you know, to hand the water to the runners or whatever. And, I mean, because you take volunteers from non-Lions Club members to help out too, I think.
Absolutely. We're always looking for volunteers, whether you're a Lion or not. When we need help, we need help. And the other thing is even though you're not a member, come and join anyways. Come and join the event anyways. Mm-hmm. Learn more about what we're doing. Learn how, if you've never done any type of service work, any charity work, you know, take an hour out of your week, take an hour out of your month, and help and participate. And when you get the reward of helping other people, it really does help yourself.
Oh, most definitely. It makes you feel better. It makes you more aware, and it spreads the word on what you do, because if they get involved, and like you say, an hour a month, but if you really get into doing the charity work and the service projects, that's important, because then you become an ambassador of those programs.
Yeah, one of the fundraising projects that we have, and it really helps boost our enrollment for Lions Club members, and that's the Night at the Bruseum. And we've had that coming up on, I don't know, 10 years, something like that. And it first started out at the Armory here in Saratoga, and now it's at the Canfield Casino. This year, for those who like adult beverages, it is April 24th at the Canfield Casino. And we'll bring in 20 different microbrewers, four or five hard cideries. We also have an hour of hard liquor that's distilled locally. We have some tremendous restaurants that come in, like Druthers, Mamma Mia's. We'll bring in food. And we just have a mere 500, 600, 700 people come in and have an enjoyable night of sampling all the craft beers and wine and food and so forth. And it is such a fun event for us as a Lions Club member, for me as a Lions Club member. It is a great event to participate in. Everybody's there. Everybody's having a great time, not just club members, but all the people that have, you know,
that attended,
paid the ticket. They know that their money is going towards a great cause.
And it's not that expensive either for what you get.
No, not really. Not at all. I think ticket price is $40 or $45 a ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you keep on getting individual drink tickets, as long as you can maintain and control. Yourself.
That's right.
And I do have to say, of all the years that we've had it, we've really never ever had
any problems.
With too much. But what a great event. What a fun event. And people see that, and they see what the Lions are doing, and they say, you know what? We want to be part of that.
Sure. Now we'll talk about a couple other projects that you do. But you did a fundraiser for Casino Night?
Casino Night. Casino Night was a tremendous program for us. It got to the extent of we had our own dedicated trailer that we would bring to a site. We had tables set up for playing 21.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple wheels that would spin. We had a couple table games. And back in the day, prior to the Racino,
mm-hmm.
We were the only gambling in town outside of prior to the Racino,
yep.
Outside of the August meet.
Wow.
And people used to go to our casino nights dressed to the nines. They would mm-hmm. come suit and tux and so forth, and it was a kind of a who's who on who comes to our casino nights.
Yeah.
Fast forward, the Racino came into town. People can gamble there every day. So our casino nights kind of dropped off by the wayside,
mm-hmm.
Mainly because we filled a need of providing gambling for people.
Right.
And since that...
In a fun atmosphere and, yeah.
So we don't do that anymore. We got the trailer and the equipment sold a couple years ago, so we're quote-unquote out of that business right now.
Well, it's a smart move on organizations that when a project starts to dwindle, to give it up and to get another project that you can build up. I know, do you still have the potato chip guy that comes around for one of your fundraisers?
Well, we had the potato chip festival the chip festival it was called. We had that for 2 years. I was one of the three founding members of
okay.
that, and my duties were to bring in the chip companies the first year.
Okay.
And what a fabulous, phenomenal event that was. We brought in chip companies. We had Lay's, we had Wise, we had the big names in. We also had little potato chip manufacturers from Ohio and Detroit and Illinois. I think we had one, they were out west somewhere.
Yep. And
what a phenomenal event it was. Our first year, we had 20-some-odd potato chip companies. Oh. We had Chobani there, and they debuted a brand-new chip dip at that event.
Neat.
That also was an all-hands-on-deck. The other great thing about it was On a Sunday night, about 4 or 5 months before the Chip Festival happened, another fellow Lions Club member called me up and said, "Hey, what about getting the Idaho potato truck here?"
Yes, I remember that.
And that was on a Sunday night. And I am proud to say by Monday afternoon, we had it locked
down. You had it locked in.
We had it locked down. And what an event that was to have them come into town. I remember it coming down Broadway. And the truck was driving slow, and it was a 40-foot potato on top of a truck, and people were just coming out of storefronts to look at what the heck is this thing coming down Broadway.
That's neat, though. That's like having the Oscar Mayer Wiener truck come down if you're having snack food. Hey, you're listening to WSPN 91.1. FM Skidmore Radio. The phone number is 518-580-5783. And we're here with Joe Brady, who is a financial planner, and also a Lions Club, a dedicated Lions Club member, and in Saratoga Springs, and I'm sure with other clubs in the area, because as most service clubs do, you visit other clubs and try and find out what they do, and they find out what you do. Just another thing on a potato chip circuit that you did. He's been a guest a couple times on the show. We have our own potato chip expert in the area.
Absolutely.
And, if you want to know anything about potato chip manufacturers, they go back to the turn of the century or maybe even a little earlier. He's got artifacts and knowledge galore. And, he's just a fantastic guy to listen to.
For the 2 years that we had the Chip Festival, and I apologize, I forgot the gentleman's
name. Yeah, I did too, and I'm embarrassed about it.
What a display that gentleman had.
Yep.
When we had upper management from Wise and Lay's there, looking at them and talking to him and just wanting to get some of the pictures and artifacts that he has. It's unbelievable.
Probably information, too, on old...
And once again, a lot of people don't realize that the potato chip was invented here in Saratoga Springs by George Crum. And for many years, and it was up until about the late teens, and I learned this especially from his display, is that across the nation, they were known as Saratoga chips.
Yeah.
And he has pictures of trucks out in San Francisco, and it's labeled
Saratoga chips. Yeah.
And it wasn't until then where it became more generic and became a potato chip.
Right, became a snack that...
Yeah. We're not doing the chip festival anymore. Once again, people realize the time and effort that it took to bring in outside companies. That had to dedicate time and effort, and it required a lot of time and effort. And we are a service organization, and we had to weigh the benefits of it. But it was a phenomenal event. People had dreams of it being at a national, international event. And
well, then too, like we said before, you have to focus on projects or not projects, but fundraisers that make enough money that you can put back into the community or back into international projects, because if a program, like we said, with the casino night is dwindling, it takes so many women hours to put these fundraisers together that you want to maximize your
a return on your time.
Right.
And, and you got to focus on the ones that give you a great return on your time, time invested.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what you do in the community. I know, well, you do the abilities, you do the glasses and the hearing aids. Do you do anything with seeing eye dogs, trying to hook up people with that, or isn't that one of your...
That's not really one of our direct... We support that.
Right.
That is not one of our directives of what we're trying to accomplish, because with Seeing Eye Dogs, they have their own infrastructure, their own ability to go out and work with people on that. Generally, Seeing Eye Dogs are not assigned to individuals younger than 18, 21, mainly because they're still at home. They still got a caregiver there, a parent there. Once you, as you age and you're out of the house and so forth, that's where a Seeing Eye Dog really comes into play. And usually by that time, you're a known entity within the different organizations that you have a challenge, so they know about you and so forth.
Okay.
One of the things that we try to do with Camp Abilities is we're always looking for students, young children, 10 to 17, or even younger. We have Camp Can Do, which is a one-day event. Is find those children and bring them into the fold so they can attend camp, but also, once again, make sure they're getting the services that they need to make sure that they grow and prosper.
Sure. That's an every-year project, correct?
Every year.
All right. How long? I know you said it's a one-week program.
It's a one-week camp held here at Saratoga, held here at the Skidmore campus. Cost of that camp is just a mere $104,000, $105,000 for the week.
Okay.
And that is something that Camp Abilities has a group of people that go out and we do our fundraising and get support that to financially support that camp during the year.
That's amazing.
It is.
And, I mean, that's not a small amount of money. And to raise that for one project, that's pretty awesome.
And once again, I was the VP of fundraising there, but when you look at where those dollars came in, everybody on that board, we have a tremendous working board with Camp Ability Saratoga. Every board member had a contact, had a person, had an organization that we could rely on to help fund Camp Ability Saratoga. It wasn't just one person going out there doing it.
Sure.
It was the whole organization going out and securing those dollars.
Now, does Lions Club, I know they're international. Now, does international have a project every year that they would like every club to donate a certain amount, not a set amount to, but help promote that international project.
Yep. They when it comes to international projects, generally what happens is a couple things. You know, if there is a tsunami, hurricane, things like that, that is national devastation, they'll put a focus on that. But generally they will focus on other things for a year or two.
Right.
Just recently, youth hunger,
mm-hmm.
Pediatric cancer.
Yeah.
So we do some one-offs and have every organization focus on that on a local side that's outside of our normal eyesight, hearing, diabetes, and youth. To help those other areas that need attention, to help reduce the incidence of those.
And that's important. I know our organization has projects every year when a lot of times you can eradicate problems, like we had an iodine deficiency problem in Africa, and that affects the thyroid and leads to a high incident of mental retardation in those countries. So the international project was that, and they raised over, I don't know, it was $150-200 million from clubs internationally and eradicated that there. So, and what's, I don't know if you get this as a club, but some of the frustrating things are when people donate, they always say, well, we want our money to stay in our own community, without knowing that if you help internationally like that, you're not giving all your money internationally, but you're helping your message and what you do around the world and try to eradicate or make life a little easier with your programs internationally. And that's an important part of any organization. I mean, most of the money's kept in the community,
yep.
And that's what you want. But it's a great thing to help internationally, which also makes you feel good. And knowing that you're part of a larger community,
yep.
That you do great things.
Yeah, the fundraising that we do and you know, Saratoga Springs Lions Club, yep, we're Lions. We are phenomenal fundraisers, but a vast majority of that money does stay home local for eyesight, for diabetes, for youth. Some of it does go to international, as you were saying, to have an effect on the whole world.
Yeah.
But we do challenge people to go out, take a look at our website for the Lions, for camp abilities. Come out to the Weibel Avenue skating rink. I think it's noon today is when skating starts, first day of skating for Skating Stars this season. Come out, take a look at it, and participate in it. All we're asking is for an hour or two a week, and it'll certainly change your life when you start.
Most definitely. When you start helping out, it does change your life, and it changes your perspective on causes and why different organizations are dedicated for certain causes. And when you have, and that's the greatest thing about having multi-service clubs in an area, they all have a different
focus
and, which helps out immensely. Yep. And it's great what the Lions Club does. Now we have about 3 minutes.
Oh boy.
I know, but the Lions Club, Phil promised me that the Lions Club would like to come back in the next couple months because there's so much, so many topics that we were going to get into that we didn't, like your focus on diabetes and community awareness and, you know, a little bit more about the hearing and youth initiatives. Anyone that wants to find out about any of these subjects, or if you're interested in what the Lions Club does, if you go on to www.saratogaspringslions, and that's with an S, saratogasprings.org, No, it's .com, I think.
Yeah, the Lions is .com.
Right, Saratoga Springs Lions.
Go to the Google. Go to the Google and type in Saratoga Springs Lions.
Yeah, the website is phenomenal, I must say. They have information. They have links to different organizations that they participate in, diabetes and such, that you can get so much information to benefit you and your life or your loved ones or friends.
Once again, our website shows the diversity of the people within our club.
Yep.
We have people that is their daily jobs. They're in the PR world. They're in the tech world. And part of their commitment to the Lions is taking their talents and abilities, and they turn it into an awesome website.
Sure. And in the financial world, which you have some expertise in, fundraising, and have contact with people that can help out. There isn't anything you can say to yourself, well, I don't have any expertise, but you do.
Absolutely.
Everyone has something that they can add to an organization or add to the club, and don't ever think that you don't have a talent, because you do. And the Lions Club or any service club will bring that out and maybe tell you
out what your talent is, and we get you working on
that. That's
right. You know, the old saying is, watch your pennies, and the pounds will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we as Saratoga Springs Lions and Lions Club International, if we pay attention to the little things, the big things really aren't an issue.
And see, you can tell by me that I watch my pennies, because the pounds will come. So we have Saratoga. I just want to go over some information again, Joe. They have some fundraisers coming up. Night of the Bruseum is April 24th. It's a Friday night. The one that's coming up soon is Trivia Night, Friday, January 17th. And I'm going to check that one out. And the Dave Carr Senior Memorial Golf Tournament, which has been named after a longtime Lions Club member who, from what Don Hall had told me, was a fantastic gentleman. And, you know, I mean, it's great that you had that.
You know, honoring what Dave Carr Senior did for the club.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly don't have the stories of just to go. We don't have time for the stories to go in on how when Dave had his business downtown and how he was working with people and people coming into town and meeting Dave for the first time. And because of Dave's attitude and Dave's personality, really brought in a lot of people to the club. And that's really what our club is people helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a need, there's a lion. And that is what our focus is.
Do you still give out the little statue of a lion to guest speakers?
You play your cards right, you can get one.
Okay, yeah. Well, I have one.
Well, there you go.
But maybe I'll get another one.
You never know.
Listen, Saratoga Lions Club, and it's www.saratogaspringslions.com. They meet Thursdays, 12 noon, at Mama Mia's on Boston Avenue, and that's in that Price Chopper mall. And if you want to write, you know, a mailing address is Saratoga Springs Lion Club, P.O. Box 166, Saratoga Springs. And their email address is saratogaspringslions@gmail.com. Go to the website. You can contact anybody and get more information. And, Joe, I want to thank you for coming on today. And I know in a month or two, you know, we'll be on again with the Lions Club, and hope you come back with a couple of the guys.
Absolutely. Guys and gals.
Guys and gals. And I have to tell you one thing about that, and then we're going to get John on with Polka Magic. When clubs allowed women to join, that made such a difference. Instead of having an auxiliary and having women as members, that made a huge difference in service clubs, because it gave another perspective, and women have really been a backbone of service clubs, where, you know, it's amazing. And I know they saved Kiwanis International in membership, and in the work that they do and prod the men into doing. That's the most important thing. Thanks a lot, and we'll be back next Saturday, so join us.
Thank you, Rick.